We're going to talk about suicide now. It's the second leading cause of death for young Americans. But health insurance often limits the kind of care they can receive. NPR's Ritu Chatterjee has this story about a suicidal teen whose treatment was cut short by her insurance plan.
Rose was 13 when she first attempted suicide. She had been struggling with symptoms of anxiety and depression and had become increasingly withdrawn. By the summer of 2020, when she was nearly 15, her mother, Rochelle, says her daughter had attempted suicide multiple times.
She's hearing a voice in her head telling her that she needed to die, that she needed to do something to kill herself, that she needed to hurt herself.
I met Rochelle and her husband, Michael, in their big, beautiful home in Columbus, Ohio. We sat in their backyard because we didn't want to upset Rose, who was home and still in treatment. NPR is not using their full names to protect the minor's identity. Rochelle told me that she searched for 2 years to find the most effective treatment for Rose. It's a kind of structured therapy designed for individuals with chronic suicide attempts, and it's called Dialectical Behavioral Therapy, or DBT. And a treatment center in Wisconsin had a residential program tailored for girls like Rose.
I had a sense of relief when we finally did get into Rogers because I'm like, okay, finally, we're going to find an expert, somebody who has had experience with this before.
Rose made multiple suicide attempts early on at Rogers Behavioral Health. But about 2 months in, things started to shift for her. Rochelle says she remembers her daughter starting to open up more.
She's starting to talk and starting to talk about wanting to live, which we hadn't heard her do in a couple of years.
Rose's father, Michael, remembers that turning point too.
It was really the first glimmer of hope that we had seen, you know, in probably about 2 years. So we thought we were on the right track.
In many ways, Michael and Rochelle were uniquely positioned to care for a child with serious mental illness. Rochelle was a school counselor and Michael a corporate lawyer. Michael says it was shortly after Rose started to show improvements that the family's health insurance, Medical Mutual of Ohio, cut off coverage.
It didn't make sense to me, and more importantly, it made no sense to her treating psychiatrist and the treatment team. They said it was extremely dangerous and would likely lead to a worsening of her symptoms.
It's a situation many families face across the country, especially those with private insurance. Ellen Weber is vice president at Legal Action Center, a New York City-based nonprofit that works on health equity.
Private insurance has never treated mental health and substance use services in an equitable, fair way.
Congress tried to address this in 1998 with a federal mental health parity law. It requires insurers to cover mental health and physical health exactly the same way. Several states have similar laws in place. But Weber says insurance companies routinely violate these laws. They address mental illnesses as crises and not the chronic conditions they are.
There is a move to address what is the acute crisis situation. And once that individual is so-called stabilized, there is a move to move that individual to a different lower level of care, a much less expensive level of care.
Regarding Rose's case, Medical Mutual of Ohio declined an interview request by NPR. In an email statement, it said it made its coverage decision in accordance with industry guidelines. NPR obtained a recording of a phone call between Rose's psychiatrist and a physician from Medical Mutual of Ohio about 6 weeks into her treatment. We're not using the physician's names because neither had permission to talk to us and they didn't have an opportunity to respond. Here's what the insurance company physician said in that phone call.
Hard to find the right time to transition to a lower level, but I felt like that this wasn't a bad time.
Rose's psychiatrist strongly disagreed. He said Rose was still highly suicidal. Then the insurance company physician says,
so when will it go well for her? When will she ever go home?
Rose had already been in treatment for weeks, she said, and that is more than what Medical Mutual typically covers. She then pushes for a plan with an end date in sight, which got this response from Rose's psychiatrist.
Sounds like your plan is you want a discharge in a week. That's not a plan, that's a discharge date.
The call ended without a decision. Eventually, the facility convinced Medical Mutual to cover Rose's treatment for a few more weeks. But then Rose's father, Michael, says they cut her off.
This was in mid-November. We had run out of internal appeals and they weren't changing their mind. So at that point, we began self-paying.
The family paid about $1,000 a day so Rose could continue her treatment. But in about a month, when they couldn't afford it anymore, she returned home to Columbus. And Michael filed an external appeal. This involved an independent reviewer assigned by the Ohio Department of Insurance. In August 2021, the independent reviewer said the family should be refunded $40,000.
I'd say I'm more relieved than pleased. The decision ultimately worked and came out the way it should have always come out.
But, he says, it shouldn't have taken 9 months of red tape.
It just doesn't seem right the way they were treating me. It doesn't seem right the way I know that they're probably treating other people in similar circumstances, but don't have the financial means to pay out of pocket and don't have the time, energy, knowledge, or resources to hold the insurance company accountable.
As a result, many such families end up losing their loved ones because of lack of treatment. As for Rose, she's now 17. She's stable, but still struggles.
She still has a high level of depression and anxiety and high level of suicidal ideation. So it's sort of day by day, week by week.
But she's come a long way, he adds. Rose is taking courses towards a high school degree and making plans for the future. And for that, Michael says, he's grateful. Ritu Chatterjee, NPR News.
If you or someone you know is in crisis and needs help, dial or text the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988.